Thursday night, we are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. We have a packed show, and I'm so excited to share musicians and Theater Thursday with you. Scott Santis, Dave Lundy, and Eric Elk will join us in just a little bit. There are some important things, and not that everything we have throughout the show isn't important, but I want to talk about something that I believe many of us don't take into consideration when we see big news stories. When we hear that Kate Spade has committed suicide, the immediate reaction was, oh, but she was rich. She seemed so happy. She had everything she wanted. She created these pretty purses. And we sort of put depression or the urge to commit suicide, take one's own life, into this box of like, what was wrong with them? Why were they being so selfish? How could they do that to their family? There's a wide range of reactions. And one of them, unfortunately, is also, man, that sounds like something I could do. And that's really scary. And I didn't even think of that until I started reading a lot of articles, not only about Kate Spade's suicide. Her sister has come out and said that Kate Spade was fixated on Robin Williams' suicide several years ago. Whether or not that's true, it made me realize, you know, we often have these situations where there are copycats, people who think, well, that worked for them. It got a lot of attention. Maybe I can do that. And that's why I invited Dr. Deborah Kissen in studio with us. Dr. Deborah, come on closer to your microphone. You appeared in an article that I found. I was looking for clinical professionals to have on the show. You are a clinical psychologist. And what are your thoughts of when people say, oh, but they seemed so happy. What was wrong with them? Why are they so sad?
Well, what comes to mind for me is that we never really know what another person is experiencing. So often I have clients who feel that they're the only ones that are maybe struggling. And so they might say, oh, I'm walking down the street feeling sad and it's a beautiful day and everyone else out there is skipping along and looking so happy and enjoying their life and I'm the only one struggling. And what I tell them is that you just don't know the inner workings of another person unless you're in their mind. So yeah. It's hard to really know what another person's experiencing.
And you're doing great. I know that you're like, I found you because there was a piece online on Refinery 29. And mm-hmm. The quote here was, life can be hard for everybody, not because you're weak or broken, but because you're human. And we see everybody happy on Facebook, on Instagram. They're showing all these, you know, exciting things that they're doing or relationships that they're in. And you treat a wide range of individuals from youngsters, teenagers to adults. And what are you finding? And you mentioned that because that must seem like such isolation when someone thinks that they're the only one suffering. And that really leads to a lot of depression or a lot of frightening moments, doesn't it?
Yeah, because there's the first hard experience of feeling anxiety or feeling depression or feeling fear or feeling worry. And then the secondary emotion when you beat yourself up for it and when you feel that it's not okay and when you reject yourself for having those feelings. So it's hard enough to feel bad. But then when you feel really bad that you feel bad, then like I tell people, it's like stubbing your toe and then punching yourself in the face.
Right.
So it's enough to feel bad and at least move through that and not be so angry at yourself that you are struggling.
That seems to compound it mm-hmm. because you think you're weak. You think, well, everybody else seems to be doing fine, so there's something wrong mm-hmm. with me.
Right. There are people with real problems. I just have this or I just have this. I should be happy. And that quest for happiness can really actually cause a lot of pain and suffering.
Have you had any conversations this week about you know, what it means when a, you know, rich person or someone who seems successful or famous, are there any, or in the past, mm-hmm. does that really make things even worse for people who are already suffering from the anxiety, the fear that they don't want to continue on?
I think in some ways it does. It makes it normalizes that, okay, that people who appear to have everything together and have everything that I could possibly want in life, and yet there's still pain in there also. And so I guess it isn't just me because in some ways not, you know, it's a hard way to get that lesson, but I think it does come across as, okay, I'm not the only one out there who's right. feeling this.
So it can be a moment of identifying and mm-hmm. saying, oh, it was bad for them too. We have a listener who mm-hmm. is calling in. Lola joined us on the line. We're having this conversation with Dr. Deborah. Is it Kissen or?
Yeah, Dr. Deborah Kissen.
Dr. Deborah Kissen. She's the clinical director of the Light on Anxiety Treatment Center of Chicago. Joining us is Lola, who wanted to say something. Hi, Lola. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. I kind of wanted to give the perspective of someone who, myself, deals with suicidal thoughts on a daily basis.
Okay.
And I can go up and down and, you know, in a matter of hours. And I have suffered from depression and anxiety for a long, long time. And those that know me intimately would not be surprised to get a call that I did.
Okay.
My therapist wouldn't even be that surprised. I'm afraid of it. I have two dogs that I don't want to leave. But I'm elderly. Well, I'm 65.
Okay.
I really don't have a lot of happy thoughts for the future. I'm pretty much where I'm going to be, and it's not pretty. I mean, it's not horrible, but it's very scary. And when people like Robin Williams and Kate Spade and other people that have the prominence and the, you know, people know them, and it's like, wow, if they can't survive it, how am I ever going to be able to?
Lola, and before, and I'm going to give the doctor a moment to address this, but when they do, is there any moment where you think, well, I have survived and they haven't? Where you think, you know, that's, do you think like, well, what a shame that they couldn't even be happy with that. And look, I'm surrounded by my dogs. There are people who care about me. Do you ever think about that moment of it's a shame for their family that they couldn't survive it? Or that they couldn't take a step back?
Oh, absolutely. And for me, I don't have anybody that would be devastated like a husband, a wife, children, anything. Because I'm pretty much, I don't have family anymore in that. And I had the means of doing it like by pills, more than usually use a less lethal form. I don't have a gun. I think about it all the time.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I really don't know. I'm kind of looking at this kind of clinically, but I can wake up, and, you know, today I just woke up in such a funk.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
Can I ask how long, I mean, has this been, you know, more so in the last few years when you feel like you're getting older and you feel like you don't have people who would be devastated? Is that something that has added to this feeling?
That has absolutely added to it. There's a lot of mental illness in my family. So the depression has been around for a long time, really long time, probably 20s. And I'm now 65.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in many ways I am a survivor. But, like I said, now as I'm getting older, it's like, you know, what's next? I don't have a lot of money. I could end up in a nursing home. I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's kind of scary.
What makes you think that you would end up in a nursing home? Because there's nobody else? Or you're ailing physically? Because that's something
a lot of uh-huh. health issues.
Okay.
And I'm getting a little bit less mobile because I have some hip problems, you know, just a lot of little things. And I think, you know what, that's, where I'm going to go next if I don't do something about it before that it comes to that. So it's really kind of
You seem very matter of fact about it. You seem like this, because I get the sense that you're, and you even mentioned the word clinical, that to you, this seems like the logical next step. And I'm trying to figure out what has led you to that. I mean, we're putting it together and you're definitely walking us through that. I'm not sure what the doctor's thoughts are on this. And by the way, Dr. Deborah is joining us as a guest with her thoughts on she's not somebody who is, you know, treating you on the air. She treats patients in her office. She has her practice. But I don't know if she has any thoughts in this situation.
A couple of thoughts that come to mind are, number one, it's important to think about your dogs. And for anyone out there listening, think about the people who you'd be surprised at the people who would be disappointed and would be hurt if you weren't there. And that's important to hold on to. And also, it's important to put your energy into what you want your day to be about and give less energy to the suicidal thoughts. And sometimes they could really pull you in, and they could kind of lull you into a form of avoidance versus what moment can you have today? What moment of joy or connection, even if it's not your best friend or a spouse, but having a nice conversation with a person sitting next to you can be a moment of meaning. And each day, trying to find those moments of meaning, and that can be the fuel for life.
And I did that today because Patty, last night, Dr. Dingman did, because I didn't want to use my real name today, because he did me a reading last night, and it basically was that I'm in a black hole by the music that I picked. And so he said, go out and do something today. And I did. I went over to a neighbor's house, and we just hung out and just shot the breeze.
See?
You know? And it was okay. So,
you should give yourself I'm clapping for you, because that is what it is about. That's the fuel for life. That's the reason for being. And so spending time shooting the breeze with a neighbor versus spending time with suicidal thoughts is what you need to be doing and to be doing more of.
Well, and you mentioned Lola, and now that I know that you're Lulu. Hi, Lulu.
You gave my secret away.
I know. I am so... Okay. Well, no, but here's the thing, is that you said that no one would be devastated, and now I think you know, not only are there five people in this room alone, between all of us here in studio and Michael behind the glass, but now, you know, I mean, there are people listening right now who I think would be there. You know, I can't quantify the number, but there would be people who would be very sad to hear that you had decided to take your own life, having heard your voice, having heard how engaged you are. And when you talk about, you know, what's next, about being in a nursing home, you know, that your health is failing right now, you already have talked about just today. And as the doctor mentioned, you know, finding those, it's about in the moment. And that's really hard to do sometimes, because especially late at night, if you're listening to my show, I haven't been able to discuss this much, but the unknown is so vast, it can be consuming, right? Once you like, yes, start imagining that, because it's unimaginable, it's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
But because also, yes, go ahead.
It's also very devastating for me to see people, you know, again, like Robin Williams or Kate Spade or whoever else has done it. It's just like, and I've had many friends that have taken their own lives, and it's a conundrum for me, because there are some people that know me that would have thought, oh my, because I was always the court jester. I was always making people laugh. You know, I mean, I have that comedic side to me but I know that people like that draw from darkness.
And so I'm not sure if you were listening. So when Robin Williams took his life, a lot of us, you know, because I've been a stand-up comic for a long time, and one of the comparisons I made for comics losing Robin Williams in the world of comedy was that, what do you do when the general dies on the battlefield, right? The one who's your leader, the one who's led the charge, the one who's done everything that you dream of doing in your career, right? Was being a sitcom star, being an actor, winning an Academy Award, and reaching the pinnacle of, you know, just the love of so many audiences. Well, I mean, it was a struggle for a lot of comics to wonder, well, then what am I doing with my life? And the thing is, and you know, this is something I say, is that you have to keep showing up. You know, it's not, you know, it's not about looking about what somebody else has done. It's about what's in front of you. And of course, you know about Declan, if you're listening to this show, you know, my son, I often used to have a lot of regret and think that maybe I did something wrong, and that was what led to his disability. But if I were to live there, Lola, I wouldn't be able to function. And one of the nurses who helped me get through that said, you know, regret is a wasted emotion. It's not about what you've done. It's about what you're going to do. But for you, Lola, it sounds like you're concerned about what you're going to do. And that's something that is unknowable, right? So you can you can only approach things in the moment to moment, like Dr. Deborah said.
Well, yeah, you're right, and it's just that gut feeling I get when I am in that hole for even a fleeting moment to take out the bottle of opioids I have for my pain or the bottle of Xanax that I have for my anxiety and just don't aim all. But then I laugh because I think, oh, well, it would be my luck that I throw them all up and end up as a vegetable. I mean, that's a really sick thinking, but I mean, that's what it is. I mean, I laugh about that.
Right.
That I wouldn't be successful at doing it, you know, unless I did take a really no coming back.
Right.
Gun to the, you know, gun to my brain. It's just crazy. And I know a lot of people live like I do.
And that's why, and that was why I invited Dr. Kissin in the studio tonight. I suspected as much on this show because of the time slot that we're in, that there are people who are you know, lying in the dark or at home alone, who have a voice that's in the background. And I wanted to have this conversation. Dr. Kissin, is there anything that, I mean, what do you, when folks have, what's the, I mean, if someone is in therapy and they have a professional that maybe isn't doing, that's not working out or soothing these, you know, these needs or these urges or these thoughts, what are some other things, aside from the moment to moment, is there another form of, you know, maybe another therapist that might help, another path of treatment?
Yeah, I'd say if anyone is struggling with frequent suicidal thoughts, if they are gathering the means to engage in any suicidal behaviors, if they're feeling more and more sense of hopelessness, then stepping up the level of care. So if somebody is maybe in therapy once a week or thinking of going to therapy, it's time to really step it up. It's sort of, if you have a very severe infection, you would need heavy antibiotics. And so if you're at that point of struggling with really dark thoughts, then a combination of medication, of maybe intensive therapy, sometimes a short stay in the hospital, and that could sound really scary, but to get things stabilized and to get chemistry regulated, and then a couple of days later, it's amazing how differently you might feel. And so, oh, and of course, getting rid of anything where if you're feeling impulsively the urge to take your life, not having access to a gun, not having that bottle of opioids, any immediate risk in your environment, removing those so that there's time for some of the bigger, darker emotions to pass. And then a couple of days later, things will clear up and you could think more clearly about what your next steps are and how to engage more effectively in life. But when you're in a really, really deep, dark place, you need support, you need medication, you need treatment.
I do have all that. And that's why I don't sound like a person, oh my God, I'm, you know, being down. I've used crisis lines. I know I have the tools. And that in itself makes me a little bit more confident. But, you know, it's day by day.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's just moment by moment, step by step, and it's all any of us can do is just keep pushing forward. That's what we all got to do.
Lola, taking into consideration what the doctor has told you about maybe more thorough path for treatment, whether it's something that might remove those, give you a few days of distance, you know, if it's being hospitalized or if it's being, you know, medication, because we really don't know what affects our chemistry and how our bodies react to our environment. You know, I would consider that, Lola. Will you consider it?
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking into ketamine right now because that seems to be something that's very up and coming.
Yeah,
I've been on all different types of medications.
Well, good for you doing your research and then staying hopeful about finding different treatment options. That's really brave of you.
And you know, our friend Dr. Nandra from IV Solutions, we'll be talking to him very soon. But I wouldn't wait if you want to, you know, do more research on that. But IV Solutions in Chicago, there might be something closer to you.
Right.
Lola, we are going to talk to you. We want you to call in for Dr. Damon next week. That's how. All right.
I'm doing some more songs.
I need to hear you.
I appreciate your time and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Lola.
Be well.
Thank you, Lola.
Okay.
More after this. Bye. More after this on 720 WGN. It is Thursday night. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Dr. Deborah Kissen. She's a clinical director of the Light on Anxiety Treatment Center of Chicago. She specializes in CBT-based treatment to children, adolescents, and adults with a focus on anxiety and stress-related disorders. And I want to make sure that people understand that there are people in our lives who struggle with depression, with anxiety, and thoughts of suicide. And what do you want to say to people? What are some of the ways that they can to move past or find ways, a path through those moments, those feelings, Doc?
Well, the most important thing is to know that you don't need to go through it alone, and you shouldn't go through it alone. The human experience is about connections, and so finding support when you're struggling with anxiety or depression or any other challenging emotion is so important. So let a friend or family member know that you're struggling and get connected with a professional. And sometimes it doesn't have to be a lifetime of therapy. It could be a couple of sessions to get you unstuck. But it's amazing how much some support to help carry you forward when you feel like you can't move forward on your own can make a big difference. So not believing that you should be strong enough to handle life and shouldn't need that help is so important.
And it's a good point you make that because when people imagine therapy, they imagine, you know, spending thousands of dollars or tens of hours or hundreds of hours. That's an interesting point you make, that it might just, you know, just to dislodge you, just to set you on a different course. Mm-hmm. Because if you're thinking repetitive thoughts, if you're consumed right. with something, whether it's the unknown or taking your own life or what, all the what ifs, mm-hmm. saying that out loud to somebody who is a professional, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it is somebody that you know. But we're often guarded. We don't want people to feel sorry for us, or they don't want us to know that we're struggling. We have that sense of pride or shame. What are some good resources for people to find a professional if they can't, lock into something?
Sure. Well, I'm the chair of public education for the Anxiety Depression Association of America, ADAA.org, and there's a find a provider resource on there, and everyone is trained in cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, so it is very action-oriented. You're addressing the thoughts and the behaviors that are keeping you stuck and finding new ways to move forward and move past whatever is holding you back.
We're going to need that website again. What's the website, please?
ADAA.org.
ADAA.org. And to find someone.
And then there's a find a provider search.
And is there a way to match, like if it's in your, you know, with in your insurance or in your community?
You could match by geography, and then in terms of if someone takes insurance or not, unfortunately you're probably gonna have to call up and find out directly, or you could go through your insurance network and figure out who's in network.
And I know that's often a barrier for people too, mm-hmm. but there are ways to grapple with that as well, aren't there?
Yeah, there are lots of resources for sliding scale therapy. In my practice, we often offer sliding scale therapy. Sometimes we'll even do 15-minute sessions or 30-minute sessions. It doesn't have to be a very, like I said, a very, very big ordeal. Sometimes people come to me and they're just very stuck and they're feeling low energy, and we spend the session actually doing what I call a walk and talk, and we just spend the session and actually walk around and take turns noticing things in the environment that are attention grabbing or pretty, and noticing a bird, noticing a dog, versus stuck in one's head only thinking about the same ruminations of how life is hard. Instead, working a new muscle of noticing the external world that's around them and doing it together. So there's a lot of ways to play around with starting to think in new ways and act in new ways.
What an important message to externalize that, mm-hmm. instead of being trapped in your own thoughts, because that's just a circle that can be endless.
Right.
How can people find you if they want to visit your therapy?
Yeah, so you could just go to lightonanxiety.com, and anyone wants to come in, I have a wonderful team of 10 therapists that we work together and could book an appointment right from the website. And sometimes we just connect with people and then help them find the right resource for them. So if someone's struggling with something different, even if they come in and we then help them sort through, it's very, if you're feeling depressed or anxious or sad, it's hard to think about next steps. And so at least we could help you figure out what are your next steps. Maybe the challenge is finding a new job. Maybe you need a career coach. Mm-hmm. But at least helping to sort out the mess that you find yourself in is a good first step.
And that's the thing. You know what? We're all in a mess.
Yes.
I think that's important to say. We're all in a mess.
I'm in it.
Doctor, will you come back and visit with us again?
Definitely. Please.
I know this is your first time. Welcome to WGN Radio.
And hopefully not my last.
It's not.
You guys are great.
Thank you so much. That's Dr. Deborah Kissin. And again, I'm so grateful that the universe brought us together through an article and a quote that you had. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we will talk to you again soon. After this, we have music. We have a conversation. We have some of our Friday night regulars, since I won't be here, and our Thursday night regular. I don't know how regular Scott Santis is. Well, that was weird. Okay, let's figure it all out when we come back. Dave Lundy, Eric Elk join us in studio. I don't know if we told Ken that he could come in tonight. Oh, well, sorry, Ken. More after this on 720 WGN.
Keep on smiling, 'cause when you smile.
Whose beautiful voice is that? Why, it is our next guest, Oleg Frisch, who's in studio with us. You can catch him at Davenport's Piano Bar and Cabaret this Saturday night, June 9th. Hey, Oleg, how are you doing tonight?
I am great. I'm impressed by your studio.
Oh, it's not my studio.
Great views on the show. Wonderful.
Isn't this gorgeous? And do you love our guests in studio who are working out with my hand weights that need to move? This is Scott Santis.
That's so funny. I love
Scott Santis, Eric Elk, and Dave Lundy join me in studio. Dave, you're not required to do any workouts.
Yeah, no. It's just a little weird.
He said he did legs. He can do upper body here.
I was literally just in the gym, and I'm like, no, leave no. the weights out of here.
No. Oleg, where are you from, my friend?
I am a New Yorker.
by way of?
Yes, I recognize the New York accent immediately.
Is that Brooklyn?
Well, originally from Moscow, from Russia.
From Moscow?
And I came to the U.S. 26 years ago.
Oh. What brought you to the United States from Russia?
What?
I don't know. What brought you here? I mean, don't tell me a plane. I don't know if you flew or not, but what made you want to come to the United States?
I came to work at a radio and TV host on the first Russian-American broadcasting company.
What?
It was called WMNB. Yes. I became the first Russian to host American celebrities.
Oh, how cool.
American all-time favorites.
You've been Russia's premier broadcast journalist in the U.S. for over 24 years.
Yes. Now it's 26.
So you're like, you're Russia famous, but in the U.S.
Yes, but nobody knows.
We do now. You're on
WGN.
Exactly.
It's 36 states and parts of Canada.
Oh, my God. So when did you start singing?
You know what? I did a psychic show. I performed a psychic show in Russia. So people were thinking about...
Did you say psychic?
Yes. Well, it was actually in the last century, but it was not something like about medicine, about your health. It was like human jukebox, live encyclopedia, and people were thinking about the names of the outstanding personalities. I guessed what they were thinking about, and we came to the songs. And I learned about 15,000 songs.
I was going to say, he remembers 15,000 songs.
Yes, kind of, yes.
Wow.
I know, I can't.
But
I don't know if I know 15,000 words.
Well, my thing is that I do songs in many languages. That's what I do. I love to do songs in many languages. It's like a kind of an educational show, because I became the first Russian who started to invite American singers to the ethnic market.
Okay.
And I love it.
Okay, I got to ask.
Yes, please do.
For the show.
Yes.
So would you translate, let's say, Kung Fu Fighting? Could you do that in Russian or French or German, or did you sing it in English rather?
The original songs, if the song is Japanese, I did it in Japanese. If it's Italian, I did it in Italian.
Wow.
Say like Volare or Forse or Quando Velvo Tulado in Spanish. Well, when I started to learn music, I didn't do it on purpose. I did it because I loved it.
Wow, this is incredible. So what can people expect
cool.
when they come see you at Davenport's Piano Bar and Cabaret this Saturday?
I will do my show. It's called Swing Around the World. The stuff of it's all swing stuff,
right.
Swinging stuff. And I will do it in many languages, including Russian, of course, English, Spanish. Italian, Japanese, French, German, Yiddish. We, by the way, I recorded a new CD. It's called Duet with My American Idols Duets. And Connie Francis, Bobby Ray Day, Lainey Kazan, Melissa Manchester, BJ Thomas. And we did a wonderful rendition of Hello Dolly in English and in Yiddish.
Can you sing me
in Yiddish?
Can you sing me a couple lyrics in Yiddish of Hello Dolly?
Shalom Dolly, nu shalom Dolly, bounce groyser yom de vein du kumstaheim, bist via blum Dolly.
No, this is amazing. Continue.
Okay, no problem. Via Stern Patty.
Oh, we've got the music playing.
Funny now. How everybody's looking at the Jew over here going like, what does the Jew think of that?
How's he doing? How's he doing?
I don't know. I don't speak Yiddish.
My friend Oleg Frisch joins in studio. Well, how can people, like, what kind of social media? I'm guessing you have a pretty good Instagram page.
Ask me, do I love social media?
Do you
I adore because it connects me to the world. I have Instagram, I have Facebook, several pages.
Several pages? You can't get me contained. They will not contain Oleg to one page.
Well, I have Twitter.
I started
Twitter actually a while ago.
So do you have any fans in Russia who perhaps often wear shirts when they're photographed? Like... I'm just saying.
I have to find them.
I'm talking about Vladimir Putin. I'm talking about that guy.
Putin.
More after this on 720.
I travel to Russia sometimes.
Well, at least I'm just curious. I wasn't sure what kind of
answer
you had. Yeah, I'm just curious. Oleg Frisch is known as a human jukebox, and he is revered for his affable and quirky personality. I think we can all attest to that. I think that's definitely apparent. He's also a popular talk show host and making his debut at the Davenport's Piano Bar and Cabaret. He's a connoisseur of swing, jazz, and the Great American Songbook book, and he sings in several languages. He will deliver many of the fun classic songs. Now, do you take requests while you do this performance at Davenport's?
Sometimes I do. Yeah. Well, because sometimes I do two sets at the same day, and the sets are limited because when you perform at the theater or at some concert venue, it's something different. You can perform for 90 minutes, for 100 minutes, and they limit you.
Yeah. Well, I also, how does it feel to have Andy Williams say you sound better than he does?
Oh, we interviewed him. We traveled all over the country while I was shooting my Time Out celebrity news program.
Uh-huh.
And we came to Branson. I love Branson.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I love it.
Did you go see Yakov?
Of course.
I was going to say, like, all the Russians know each other. Yakov Smirnov has his own theater in Branson, Missouri. Yeah.
Yes. They all know each other.
I'm kidding.
But well, Yakov Smirnov, the previously most famous Russian.
And now Oleg.
He's a great guy. But you know, that's interesting. People in Russia, actually, they don't know him perfectly because he speaks English and all his jokes are in English. And I am not sure that he can perform in Russia, but...
Branson, Missouri.
Yes. No, not
huge
only Branson.
Yeah, he's got his own.
Well, not only Branson. He's all over the world.
Really?
He tours to Australia. And Andy Williams, yes, we filmed him at his theater. And I asked him about one song he recorded in 1957. He told me, my goodness, I forgot it. Can you remind me?
What song was that?
Sweetheart or something like that.
Oh, wow.
And I said, oh, do you remember the song? He said, no. Can you murmur it? I said, yes, I can. He said, wow, you sound better than myself. You have
That's
to perform.
Wonderful. Well,
it was a joke.
Oleg is making... I love that. Oleg is performing. He's debuting at Davenport's Piano Bar and Cabaret Saturday night, June 9th at 8 p.m. That's at 1383 North Milwaukee Avenue right here in Chicago. You can call 773-278-1830 or visit davenportspianobar.com. But follow Oleg on social media. Go to his website, olegfrisch.com. That's OLEGF, that's as in Frank, RISH.com. Oleg, you're going to be at Davenport's again, I'm sure. So we'd love to have you in studio. And I think we're going to challenge you on some of your human jukeboxness.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I loved your show.
Thank you. It's so jolly.
It's so positive.
Well, I don't know about the last 45 minutes.
Clearly, he's not around on Friday nights very often.
Thank you, Oleg. Be well, and let's get a photo too, please.
Hope
thank you.
To see you.
Oh, you will absolutely. Thank you so much for hanging out with us pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We have a full studio. Joining me is Scott Stantis riding shotgun tonight. We have three shotguns.
We do.
I had to. Dave was going to move into that chair, but I was like, Dave, Scott's usually here on Thursdays. And I know it's one of your last times, possibly.
My chair. Mine.
Yeah, Dave, no. Monday. It is mine. My last time in the studio.
Possibly.
But that's okay, Scott. Don't worry about me. I'm fine.
I'm sorry. His neck doesn't hurt at all.
He called shotgun.
You might want to go in and talk to the doctor.
Eric,
yeah, exactly.
Eric Elk joins us, Dave Lundy. We don't know how many more shows we have in the Tribune Tower, so I've invited them as a frequent guests of the show to be here. It is Theater Thursday, and we have a wonderful show to tell you about. It's Neverwhere, about Neverwhere, Journey to London Below with the Rogues Gallery of Liars, Outcasts, and Assassins on a treacherous quest to awaken the hero within in a new production of Lifeline's hit adaptation of the 1996 novel by Neil Gaiman. So I want to find out more about this. We have in studio with us Robert Kozlarik. He's like, yep, close enough. you're being very, very gracious about that. And we have Ulaysha Duncan.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Let's live there for a moment in the, I got that close enough. Thank you so much. Tell us about this production. I'm going to start with Robert. Robert, where did Lifeline find this play?
This was, it was about a 10-year journey, actually, to get it on stage. I was given a copy of the book back in 1999 by a friend who sort of slipped it to me and said, I think this might be right up your alley. And then I immediately started to get to work on it without any hope of actually seeing it produced. But I, like, shortly thereafter, I saw my first production at Lifeline Theater, which is now my home theater. And that first production was an adaptation of Tolkien's The Two Towers. And it was my first time seeing an actual fantasy novel on stage. I didn't know that it could actually be done. And I got it in my head that that was where Neverwhere had to come to life. And I got to work on the adaptation, and the Henson Studios had owned the rights to it for years and years and years, and it was all sorts of back and forth to try to get permission to do a stage production of it. And then we had a little tiny window in 2009 where apparently the Henson folks just kind of let it lapse, and so...
You jumped in.
So yeah, Gaiman's agent called us and we're like, are you still interested in doing that? Yes, please, we will absolutely do that.
Did you talk to Neil Gaiman?
He actually... Neil and his friend Lenny Henry, who were the co-producers of the original BBC miniseries that his novel sprang from, came to see the original production in 2010. And
he's one of my gods.
He is amazing. It's rare in life that you get to meet your heroes, and it's even rarer when they turn out to be just amazing and generous. And so they saw the show and they hung out with all of us for a couple hours afterwards and drank whiskey with us and swap stories about the sort of challenging and arduous process of making the BBC production.
If Amy was with them, I'm going to melt.
No.
No, she wasn't.
Oh, wow, look at you.
Sorry.
No, continue.
I'm a fanboy. No, Neil Gaiman is one of the great writers of the 20th and 21st centuries.
Yeah,
far.
He truly is. He truly is.
And you didn't correct me when I said Gaiman. So thank you very much. That's Gaiman?
Right. It's Gaiman.
Is it Gaiman?
Is it Gaiman?
Yeah.
I thought it was Gaiman. Oh, I stand corrected.
Ulaysha, you don't have no idea. I get no names right.
This is a score for...
And you're on top of it tonight.
I'm not playing.
Patty, congratulations.
Thank you
very much. But he really is. I mean, he is one of the strongest, most compelling, like, storytellers that we have alive right now.
Truly.
And I just instantaneously fell in love with his dialogue and his characters. His characters are weird and interesting. They make bizarre, fascinating choices. And he has got a... He's just got a really magical... handle on prose. And
did you read the Sandman series?
I sure did. I missed it. There was a period of time in the 90s where I wasn't reading comics. I did before and I do after, so I missed it when it was happening, but after I read Neverwhere, I immediately went back.
I just want to tell Patty,
it's
real
breathtaking.
Quick, Gaiman wrote, and Sandman is, he has all these gods. There's seven gods, right? And they have realms, and his sister is Death, and her realm is this crappy apartment with a goldfish, and she dresses like 1980s Madonna.
Wow. That sounds accurate.
So perfect.
Yeah, and it's a whole like family sprightly. Of dream and destiny and death and desire and
yes.
destruction. Yeah.
And death is like sprightly and kind of, she has a goldfish in a crappy apartment. I just thought that was such a brilliant, anyway, I'm yeah. sorry.
No, you're doing fine. I just want to make sure that our listeners know that we are talking about the production of Neverwhere, which is running through July 15th. Performances are Thursdays and Fridays at 7:30 and Saturdays at 8 p.m. with matinees on Saturdays and Sundays at 4 p.m. at Lifeline Theater, 6912 North Glenwood Avenue. You can visit the website lifelinetheater.com. In studio, we have with us the adapter, Robert Kozlerik. Kozlerik. I should know that. Kozlerik and Ulaysia.
Duncan.
Yes. I was waiting for the, yes, you got it right, who is the director of this production. How was it collaborating with Robert on this piece? Someone who has worked on this for so long and obviously it's a passion piece.
It was actually quite wonderful. And Rob was a great partner and let you try anything. It's like, yeah, I'll go for that. But there's also this great ear for, hey, why don't we take this back and how about this? So it was really a really great collaboration. I think the whole team, the whole Lifeline team.
Can you tell us a little bit what the story is?
Sure. Well, it's the story of a young man named Richard Mayhew, who has a corporate job in London and originally from Scotland, and finds himself meeting a young woman on the street who suddenly shows up and is passed out, blood, and begging someone to help her. And he, against his initial thoughts, or at least the thoughts of his girlfriend, takes her home. And turns out that she is from London Below. This character's name is Dor. And once he connects with her, his life is turned upside down.
Mayhem ensues. And that's what makes it theatrical.
Hijinks.
Otherwise, hijinks ensue. Is it hijinks?
There are indeed hijinks.
There are hijinks. Yes. Let's find out more about the production of Neverwhere again, running through July 15th at Lifeline Theater. Go to lifelinetheater.com. The theater is at 6912 North Glenwood Avenue. More with our guests when we come back in just a moment on 720 WGN. It's the Patty V Show. Oh, we have more about that too in a little bit. More in a moment. 720
Great news.
WGN. Yeah, I don't know what's happening. It's Theater Thursday, and there's a production that you must see at the Lifeline Theater. It's Neverwhere, and we have in studio with us the adapter. It's just saying, I don't think I've ever had, I mean, we've had adapted, but we don't, like, playwright mm-hmm. would be, you've adapted a version of Neil, what was that, Scott?
I like the title, He Is.
He Is Adapter.
He's the adapter.
It sounds like a great superhero, like yeah, any situation, he can adapt.
Do you have a problem? He's the adapter. I'm at a family function, they're dysfunctional. I'm the adapter.
Adapt.
Oh. Ulaysia, come on. Wouldn't that be great?
It would be.
I need the
That's
adapter.
The next story.
Yes. That is the next story.
I want to know what the sound effect that would go with the adapter as he was beginning to adapt.
Robert Kozlerik is the adapter.
Zoom!
Well, I like, because it's like the sweat on your brow has been like wiped away is what that yes. sounds like, right?
I prefer the sound of a head exploding.
Oh, okay.
Well, oh, please, Auntie, tell me your racist views some more, please.
He is the adapter.
I produce a late night show and my host won't go to the news on time. We need the adapter. Michael,
like,
wouldn't you love to have a Cape Crusader help you in the booth?
I don't even know if that would help, to be honest.
Okay, let's get back
yeah,
to
it. You actually just need a gong, Mike. You just need to get a gong ooh, going okay. like, no, I'm sorry, gong.
I'm going to apologize to my guests right now. I have a brilliant idea for all the hosts. And Michael, maybe it's just for me, and you're like, hey, really, I need this for Patty because she can't stay on time. Mm. We need a traffic light. We need a green for everything's great. Yellow, you're getting close. Red, you need to shut up now. I'm not even kidding.
That's actually a great idea.
That's actually a great idea.
We do have something like that.
It's called a producer.
It's a visual.
Oh, trust me. Look.
What just happened?
We have that.
What was that? I'm sorry. For
Wait
those
a minute.
Of you not watching on television.
And for those of you not getting a seizure off of that.
Halacia, I apologize to you.
That's the alert.
What? No, you've never. Why haven't you ever used that? That's a little much.
Yeah, I have intense. Used it once, and you said, please never do that again.
That was about 7 months ago. I thought you were taking pictures.
Yeah.
See, and that's why the sound for the adapter needs to be.
Wait a minute. I thought that was the traffic cameras outside. I honestly thought that was a traffic camera.
Where is that coming from?
My board.
Yeah, there's this like lights.
I had no idea it was coming from inside the room.
I was wondering. It's coming from inside the room.
So, Patty, I've been in the studio for years and years and years, and I never knew what that thing was. That strip of,
the lights on here.
On that board there.
LEDs or something.
Oh, yeah, those are LEDs. I had no idea.
Okay. Wow. I apologize to my guests.
Do that again.
All right.
Wow!
Yeah,
Robert Kessler.
And this is, by the way, what makes for great radio.
Yes,
that make visual references that nobody listening can understand.
Okay, let's hold go through on. The internet right now.
Hold on. As did you see? Did you know that the host had this warning signal from the producers?
No, I didn't.
Right? Okay, so I'm not crazy. I thought it was a traffic camera, Michael. I thought I was being pulled over.
You're not exclusive, Patty. You can be crazy and not know.
It's like wow, 5 minutes late to the news. Oh, the traffic lights are going crazy over here. I don't know what's happening. For some reason, on I-90 must be going really wild right now.
So much happening.
Ouch.
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 Ouch. Let's focus. Theater Thursday. Our guest, Ulaysia Duncan, is in studio. She is the director of this production of Neverwhere at Lifeline Theater. We have the adapter, Robert Kozlarik.
The adapter.
So tell me about casting this, because it sounds like something that has these layers of first we're in what's familiar and then what becomes unfamiliar.
Exactly.
Yes.
And, well, the casting was a process, right? We were looking for the right combination of daring do actors who have this amazing flexibility, who can do dialects, who can play multiple characters. So it's the gamut. So, and we lucked out.
There's two. We have two folks in the show who essentially play one character each, but then the rest of the seven people play between four and six characters a piece, all with different dialects. Some of them have to fight. Some of them have to do all sorts of other crazy stuff. It requires a real specific set of skills from a very small group of people to make a cast of something like 36 come to life.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is remarkable. Yeah. And you are you're the producing director of the Pegasus Theater?
I am.
Tell us a little bit about the Pegasus Theater.
Pegasus Theater used to be a Northside Theater, so we were neighbors with Lifeline for a long time. Mm-hmm. Started at Truman College, and now we are in the Westtown area of Chicago. We're in residence at Chicago Dramatist. And it's a social justice theater. We do plays that are hard to tell stories. Mm-hmm. And we also produce the Young Playwrights Festival, which has been around for, this will be the 32nd year.
I'm so glad. The reason I asked that was, wow. I was a little bit, that's one of those questions where you know part of the answer. My father-in-law was one of the founding members of the Chicago Dramatist Workshop.
Oh, wow.
And he was very involved and very passionate about making sure that the voices were heard.
Yes.
And so I was so glad to hear that you're with the Pegasus Theater.
Yes.
And residence there. And the Lifeline Theater. Now, are you with the Lifeline Theater?
Yes. I am indeed, yes.
Artistic ensemble member?
Yes, indeed. And we specialize in literary adaptation. So we do a main stage series for adults every year, and they're all based on novels. And then we do three shows every year for kids and families, and those are based off of picture books, and we bring those to life on our stage.
And one of the reasons we do Theater Thursday is to really bring a look. Everyone's going to see all the advertisements about, you know, the Chicago Theater, what's going on at the Oriental Theater, or, you know, the big productions, right? Or the Hamiltons. You know, mm-hmm. People want to get those tickets. This town has one of the most vibrant theater presences, I think, in the world. That's just, I'm just
it's
saying.
It's really special. Because
I live here, yeah. So what do you want people to know about coming to see this production of Neverwhere? Ulaysia?
I think I want them to come with an open mind about what it means to do something. So in the climate that we're in, what does it mean when you take an extra step to do something? Will it turn your life upside down? Will it make your life better? Will it change you forever? Or will it catapult you into a series of cataclysmic situations where you are fighting for your life? Oh, and wow. All of that is true of Neverwhere.
Gaiman's created a story where so many of the characters are put in situations where they come across people who are struggling or people who need help, and it would be very, very easy for the characters to simply walk away and do nothing, and they make the hard choice to reach out and help somebody. And sometimes that brings consequences down on their head, but in the end, it's an act of bravery. And it's a special story in that way. And it's also fun and exciting and fantastical, and there's lots of fights and puppets and magic and
but wait, if that wasn't enough to sell you, there are puppets and there's fighting. I love Robert's like
and
I,
fighting I will, puppets
I will,
actually
I will sell oh, well I am all in. Now this runs through July 15th mm-hmm. at how big is the theater at Lifeline Theater?
99 seats,
so it's a great size.
Absolutely, you know, there's no bad seat.
It's intimate, it's immediate. Right.
Absolutely.
And I love that about that's what's so great about the theater. We keep meaning to go to some of these productions. We are not missing this one.
Okay.
And I'm guessing you agree.
No, well,
Eric is all in.
Kozlerik is.
Yes.
The adapter.
Adapter. And Ulysses is the director.
The director.
I think you need a cape too. I'm just saying.
Yes.
I love all of this. Where are you from originally?
I'm actually, I guess for all intents and purposes from here, but I'm from Indianapolis and California, Palo Alto.
That's not
both
California.
Places. Yeah.
Oh, come
on. California, I can say this.
I understand what you're trying to say, but I'm not accepting it because she told you where she was from.
All right.
Just saying. And where are you from, Robert?
Northern Minnesota, Duluth, Minnesota, originally. But I've been in Chicago for 20 some years now.
It's similar in the fact that, like, here when it gets colder, like, why are you complaining?
Oh, seriously. Yes.
We have like 10,000 lakes. It's always lake effect. All right, back off. Thank you so much for joining us.
And, thank you so much for having us.
And I want to encourage everyone to go to lifelinetheater.com, by the way. That's theatre. So it's Lifeline Theater with the RE.com. The theater is located at 6912 North Glenwood Avenue. And performances do go through July 15th, Thursdays and Fridays at 7:30 and Saturdays at 8 p.m. with matinees on Saturdays and Sundays at 4 o'clock. And I really want to thank you both for coming and joining us in studio. Find out more about Pegasus Theater in residence at the Chicago Dramatist Workshop. And again, make sure you are you know what's going on at the Lifeline. Thank you guys so much for joining
us. Thanks for having us. Appreciate
it. Thanks so much for having us.
And thank you for taking that very weird like group picture with people you didn't know yet when we were in the green room. So thank you so much. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for joining us pretty late. We hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. You're listening to The Patty V Show. Joining me is Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. We also have Eric Elk. He is a political strategist. And you're right there, Eric. You're like, I'm too close to the microphone.
I just taken a sip of water, and I was too close to the mic.
That's okay. Eric Elk and Dave Lundy, who is the president of Aileron Communications. They're usually my Friday night friends for Freak Out Friday. And I apologize to Ken Jacobowski because he wasn't in studio. I forgot to say, hey, come stop by because we don't know how long we're going to be in the Showcase studio. I'll extend an invitation just for him and not for you next week.
Well, that's appropriate since I won't be here next week.
Excellent. Perfect. That works out well.
Where do you think you're going to be?
I'm going to be in northern Wisconsin.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
All right, then.
Why?
Father-son weekend at my son's camp, trying to chase after 30-year-old dads who are going to show me how macho they are.
But you know what? We'll talk about this a little bit later because my dad was always one of the oldest dads. So
There's one game we play. We do, and this is going to be my third year. And there's one of these, you know, crazy across a multi-100-yard field game where the dads are supposed to dash and run and, you know, capture the flag and all this nonsense. And there's one of them where they line us up by age.
No.
Yes.
That's not okay.
To do what?
Yes. They line us up by age, and then we count off numbers, and so I'm always like right near the end of the line. There's one older dad who's a friend of mine, so we're like there, and then the next younger one is.
And so
like
what happens at the end of this count off?
Well, they call your numbers, and you have to run across the field and not
they
get
don't put
tagged
you on ice flow
by these kids. No.
Okay.
No, they hang you upside down by your toenails.
Here's my question, and I hesitate to ask this because I've been in such a... how would you fare any better if it were by height?
Oh! Oh! Hey! What did I do to you, Patty?
I said I hesitated to ask that question.
Poor Dave.
Yeah, we're back to the last hour where it's like, look, the Jew!
Get
look,
up!
Look, the short Jew!
I hesitated.
The short old Jew!
If I was going
to... Hey, what are you talking? What are you doing to me, Patty? You're giving me a headache,
I mean, not for nothing. As my dad would say, as a gentleman who was 5'4" himself, not for nothing, Dave, but am I wrong?
Actually, yes, you are, because the kids are mostly shorter than me.
Okay, but if it's dads against sons, but no,
they line up all the people. All
you don't
age.
Say what happens after the lineup, but this sounds like some kind of live and you may die.
No, it's funny because they'll call certain numbers and you all get a number and they'll call certain
and
numbers.
And yours is a high number.
And mine is a very high number. And then they'll say. And when they call your number, you have to run across the field and not get tagged. But it's called British Bulldog is the name of the game. And there are these bulldogs, these kids and dads who are in the middle trying to tag you. And so I am not the fastest. Okay, I'm one of the slowest guys there. I'm certainly not the shiftiest.
But you're low to the ground.
However, I am clever. And so last year, I was just like very nonchalantly walking. You know, after they called my number, I let all the hyper dads go, and they were running. And then I just kind of very nonchalantly started walking across the field. Nobody noticed me. I got halfway across the field, and I bolted. And I barely made it, but I did make it across the field, winning a point for our team. It was exciting for an old guy.
Ray, our new guest is
for this transition.
As a young person, you must understand that it's these small victories in life that we cling to as we become parents and as we age. And when you came in, you said, I've never done a radio show with so many people in the studio, and you're probably never going to want to do that again. No, I'm thrilled to have you in studio. We have in studio with us Ray Zaragoza.
Yes.
Oh, hold on a second. Let me give you that. Yes. Yeah, Ray.
Yeah, Ray Zaragoza. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. My comedian friend, my friend who's a comic, Jim Rule, messaged me. He's like, hey, there's someone coming to town. Of course, he gave me short notice. So I gave you as short a notice as Jim gave me. Yes, Eric?
Is there a difference between comedian and comic?
That's a good question.
There's stand-up comic, and I guess there's comedic actors. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of different categories. Okay. Comedian always freaks me out a little bit. It would be like being a songstress instead of just being a singer.
Wow.
You never thought of that way, right?
So which are you, a songstress or a singer?
See, I very much identify as being a songstress, but I don't know what the difference between a songstress and a songwriter is now.
Is that close to like a priestess?
I kind of like that a lot.
Or a high priestess of
yes,
songs.
Yes, we are priestesses and goddesses, and all of those work for me.
Exactly.
All right, now that you put it that way, it got complicated, didn't it, Ray?
Yeah, I have songstress in my Instagram bio, and now I'm wondering, is that even me? Like, what is a songstress?
Yeah, what is a songstress?
What is a songwriter?
You're just questioning yourself.
Everything's changed.
You didn't know what would happen when you walked into these doors, did you?
I'm questioning all reality now.
Now you're welcome to the WGN family.
Give me the doctor back.
Yes, get the doctor back. By the way, for everyone joining the show, Ray Zaragoza is an award-winning singer, songwriter, and activist. So you and I have this sort of multinational, all these different ways we identify.
Mm-hmm.
But people, I'm guessing, are always like try to pinpoint you. Like
always.
Yeah. What are you? And they'll say that. What are you?
Yeah.
What do you say when they say, what are you? What's your go-to?
God,
I'm a woman.
I mean, it's such an aggressive question, you know. I get so taken back every time I get it. And I've been getting that since I was a kid, and I'm sure you have too.
Mm-hmm.
And I never know how to answer it.
It never gets easier.
What are you? I'm like, what are you? You know.
Well, and if you ask them why they want to know, they get defensive.
Yeah.
And when I say I'm an American, because I always assume they mean, because they'll often also say, "What nationality are you?"
Yeah.
So I'll
do
say,
"Do you really get that question?"
Oh,
seriously?
Do you really?
There's two people in the room that are telling you that.
Yes.
No. I believe you. It always astonishes me when people actually say these things out loud.
My answer would be mammal.
Ooh,
that's good.
My answer
would be Homo sapien.
Nice.
Actually, that really
I get a lot. Where are you from?
Yes.
And I always say New York City. That's where I was born and raised. And then they're like, no. Where are you from?
Well, and here's the thing.
Oh, my goodness. New York City.
So this might get complicated.
You have to say it slower and louder.
Like, New York City.
Over and over.
and the implication is you don't belong here.
Right.
Yeah.
What are you doing here? Yeah.
Exactly. And I'll just keep literally saying New York City until they rephrase the question.
Yeah, but what are you?
Yeah.
But what's it? Well, and I force it too, and sometimes they get belligerent, like they because it's hard to have that mirror reflected back at you, mm-hmm. and then it makes them question themselves. I wanted to do a song before we go to the break, and I know Aubrey's standing by. You're performing at City Winery on Friday night, so that's tonight. Yeah, so thank you for staying up late with us.
Absolutely.
And we are so grateful to have you in studio. What song are you singing for us?
Actually, this is perfect for what we've been talking about. This song is called American Dream.
American Dream.
Yeah.
It's Ray. Go ahead.
I've been thinking about the news. Daddy leaves it on all day through. I've been thinking about the wars. And to be honest, I can't take it anymore. I hear you every day. The awful words you say. And hate can't be the face of the American dream. I've been thinking about my life. And how one day I wanna be a mother and a wife. I've been scared of that thought too. In a world of struggle, what are we gonna do? I hear you every day saying it's gonna be okay. But hate can't be the face of the American dream. And I choice, and it can start with me. 'Cause I've been thinking about our mother and how they took her away from her people, put her in a boarding school, away from her brother, sister, and culture. I can see her every night saying we've gotta make this right. 'Cause hate can't be the face of the American dream. And I know we've got a long way to go, but I've got to a choice, and it can start with me. And change is a choice, and it can start with me. And change is a choice, and it can start with you.
Thank you. Man, I have good friends. You know, I have good friends in the studio, and I have a good friend named Jim Rule who said, you must have this woman on, and he couldn't have been more right. We are going to continue our conversation. Did you want to sing another song later?
Sure.
Hang out with
absolutely.
Us and listen to the...
You know, she would fit perfectly on Freak Out Friday based on that song.
But it worked out well for tonight.
It was perfect.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, exactly.
Don't tell Ken.
Yeah, sorry, Ken.
Yeah, that was incredible. Yes, that fits in with a lot of the conversations that we have on our show. We are hanging out with Ray Please say your last name for me so I don't mean
Zaragoza.
Zaragoza. She's performing at City Winery later on tonight, and we'll find out more information about how you can get tickets and come see her. But if you go to my Facebook page, Patty Vasquez, and I'll put another one, the next song she does, I'll put it on Patty V Show on Facebook. Remarkable. And that was what Scott posted on that video as well. We'll share that with you so you can have that.
Wonderful.
Joining me in studio, Scott Santos, Eric Elk, Dave Lundy, and Ray Zaragoza. More after this on 720 WGN. We don't want to confuse anybody with the days of the week, but we've decided to move up Freak Out Friday since technically it is Friday. So part of my Freak Out Friday panel is here, and I apologize again to Kendrick Grabowski. We have Dave Lundy, who is the president of Aileron Communications. We have Eric Elk, the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois, and a political strategist, former chief of staff for Senator Mark Kirk. We have Scott Santos, who is the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune and member of the editorial board of the same newspaper. The newspaper is a paper and not a building, is what I think what the message is.
That's what, today. Sure. Let's go with that.
Let's go with that. Ray, there's a lot going on. Ray Zaragoza, who is performing at City Winery, joins us in the studio with some great music. We'll hear more music in a moment. So I want to explain to Ray and anybody who's tuning in for the first time, or maybe just a recap, maybe you don't hear Friday nights. I try not to talk about the big stories of the week, and in particular, political stories, until Friday, because if I did it every day, it's just too much, mm-hmm. and I can't do it every single mm-hmm. day. So we save it for a Freak Out Friday, and sometimes we are freaking out. Yeah. Sometimes we're just like exhausted and can't possibly. And today was a very strange day. How are you as a songwriter, as a woman, of color, and just somebody? I mean, like, do you feel like we as the older folks kind of screwed this up for you a little bit? I feel like we kind of made a mess of things.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead.
I know. I just, you know, hey.
I mean, I don't want to point fingers now.
No, but can I ask you a personal question? Why hasn't your generation risen up and killed us? I'm serious.
You're like,
because
where's the uprising?
What is wrong with you? Because I totally would.
Because if I were you, I would kill us.
Look at her face, by the way. That was a little aggressive. But in the sense that risen up, I mean, let's put it in other terms, right? Because there still seems to be I understand, but I can see in her face, she's like, could you not?
No, I mean,
you're not worth it. No. You're not.
There's two sides. There's so many, you know, my parents are incredible and incredibly progressive, and they inspire me so much. And then there are people where I just want to rip my hair out and cry and be like, how are you saying to me these things?
But maybe every generation is like that. We look at older people look at us and think that we're ruining everything, and we look at them and they're like, what have you done?
It's not just older people. There's people my age who I am shocked.
You should, and you should be, but no, seriously, honest to God, people our age are reprehensible. We came up in the 60s and, you know, peace, love, no, and then we launch wars that shouldn't be launched. We do stupid we cut taxes that shouldn't be cut.
I blame my generation
stuff.
By the way, he's a Republican.
Yeah. I'm the first on the list.
It's
not a dirty word. You are surrounded by two Republicans, and then there's the
and
the
my dad. My dad was a Republican. I don't declare because I am a broadcaster. So
I don't
declare.
Fine. I will be the token Democrat on the panel.
I am like the opposite of Scarlett O'Hara. I don't declare.
That's amazing. That's really funny.
But honest to God, the world we're leaving you, I'm so sorry. I am.
It's your fault.
It's not personally.
No, a little bit.
Actually, it is, because he helped the newspaper endorse Gary Johnson. I'm just saying.
I stand by that endorsement. Never forgiving you
for the Gary Johnson endorsement.
I stand by it 100%.
You recall Gary Johnson, who was running for president. He didn't know where Aleppo was. And
that's one slip
neither,
up.
Yeah. Neither,
I'm sorry.
Neither did I.
One.
Mm-hmm. So
really?
I'm saying.
I remember
this. Oh, look at. There you go. The imam. did someone call him an imam? It was Roebling called him like an imam.
Who called an imam?
Eric?
You didn't see it in the Facebook
post?
Oh,
yeah. No, I did. Well, Eric needs a trimmer.
Yeah.
No.
Eric needs his beard trimmed.
As I told someone on your page, I'm just getting started.
Oh, yeah. You're going to braid your beard soon.
So, Ray, Eric is getting married. Eric is getting married in September, and I believe this is his playoff beard. Kind of like getting everything out of the way.
Wait. He's not. I thought he was married already.
No.
Oh,
you thought he and I were married. No, I'm not going to
judge.
Not that there's anything wrong with it.
I'm down with that. No. In fact, I have officiated 7 marriages, and one of them was a same-sex marriage. Huh? Unfortunately, it just dissolved. So.
No, bummer.
You are
yes,
not.
because as a good friend of mine who is a married lesbian and divorced lesbian likes to say that gay people are entitled to just as much unhappiness as straight people.
I always thought if people didn't like gay marriage that they shouldn't fight for it to be illegal. They should fight for it to be illegal for gay people to get divorced.
Ooh.
I actually
hosted an afternoon drive time show in Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. If I was like short on calls, I would say, you know what, folks, this is the buckle of the Bible Belt.
Uh-oh.
And here's what I'm proposing, that unless there are children involved, there should be no divorce. Period. Jesus didn't talk about gays. Didn't talk about.
Yep.
Talk about? He talked about divorce a lot. Mm-hmm. And so divorce, no. And oh my gosh, the lights would just boop, 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 boop.
By the way, that's the Scott Santa show, which is not broadcasting right now.
You know why? Because that's what he would do on the show.
Yes. No. And I would also say, I'm here in Alabama and I'm wondering, can somebody please explain Talladega and NASCAR to me?
Oh, man.
A lot of left turns.
That's why you got ridden out down on a rail, young man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're asking for a lot of trouble on the Scott Santa show. Thankfully, yes. It's the Patty V show.
Yes. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Reggie, I'm teasing
reeling
you.
It back now.
I am
Let's
teasing
talk to
you.
Ray.
We're going to talk to Ray some more. We're going to hear more music. She's appearing at City Winery later on tonight.
Yeah.
Michael, thank you. Yes.
Oh, no, I was just saying, and Patty's going to go to the news on time.
I was trying to, and there was all of a sudden, everyone was talking to me. You can't hear the silent voice. That Michael, can you say the same thing that you said in my ear so that people know what you said?
You can go straight to the news.
Wait, where are the flashy lights? Where's the lights? Thank you.
Why? Aubrey, I had no idea these lights existed. Did you know about this? Did you put these here?
He's probably the one who installed them.
Do you know about these lights? Show them, Michael.
Aubrey has been here since the building was
built. What is this nonsense?
That's what we call an Aubrey-style Christmas.
It's a torture device.
It's an Aubrey Christmas.
I'm pretty sure. I thought there
was going to go to the news.
There was a traffic light outside. Craig used to play that. Used to do that all the time and didn't tell me what it was for. You would think, okay, all right. Michael's only done it twice to me, and I just thought I thought that maybe I was having a neurological disorder. I'm fine.
The danger zone is near.
Michael? Executive producer Michael Heidemann, can you meet me in our business bubble? Production bubble? you're not in the production bubble. Why are you on microphone? I'm going to turn your microphone on. I turned it on. I'm teasing you, Scott Santas. Someday we really do need to record the off the air, like during the news break conversation. Do you think if we can't mic them or leave the mics on or record them? Aubrey's in studio with us. Aubrey, it's probably illegal for us to record our guests without their knowledge and then use it as entertainment. Can we record them and tell them later we recorded them?
Once.
Once? Because, Michael isn't even privy to the conversations that we have out here. Like, he'll be sitting behind the glass, and all of a sudden, all of my guests will turn around and just stare at him, and he's like, what?
It's happened many times. So
he doesn't know. Hold on a second. You're not on mic, Eric. Go ahead. Now you are. Go ahead.
So he doesn't know when we're talking about him?
Only when you turn around. When I say something about Michael, and it's usually Michael is one of the most authentic human beings that I know, everyone turns around to look at him just to like see what that looks like. And he's like, why is everyone looking at me?
It's all at the same time, too, which is really, really kind of terrifying at times. But I appreciate the kind words.
You're welcome, but it creeps him out. Ray Zaragoza, who is appearing at the City Winery tonight, you can go to her website, Ray Zaragoza. Zaragoza, which is RAYEZARAGOZA .com. And she has her schedule on there. You can find out about tickets for tonight. And she'll also be at the Brews Ale House in Pueblo, Colorado. We're here like throughout the country, so I want to make sure people know. She'll also be at the Gerald Ford Amphitheater in Vail, Colorado. You can go to her website for more. Oh, a lot of Colorado and some Salt Lake City coming up. And Missoula, Montana. Excellent.
Yay.
Excellent. Great music. So as you can see, we have, oh, I'm sorry, Dave, we always leave your microphone off. You can turn yours on anytime. Wasn't being selectively.
No, I know.
No,
it was the headphones I was going for because I couldn't hear you. Because Aubrey stole my headphones.
Whose headphones are those?
I don't know. They were sitting on top of the thing.
They're huge. I love those.
They are.
I love that we're in studio with so many guests. We have Scott Stantis, Eric Elk, Dave Lundy, and Ray. I know it's weird. We do talk about politics on Friday nights, and the way we sort of temper that is with music. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of like, you know, it's like a little bit of a spoonful of sugar with your medicine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your music, it seems, also speaks to a lot of what's going on.
Yes, yes.
So today, let's do a little bit of what's going on. Then let's do a little bit of freaking out, and then break it up with music. So, what would you say about what's going on with? Hey, Michael, can you grab? I think I have a pair of Sonys in the file cabinet, the second drawer, or third drawer from the bottom. So Giuliani said today, like today.
See, right. Giuliani was like number four on my freak out list.
Yeah. He went after Stormy Daniels for selling her body, and I've asked Scott to do it. And it doesn't have to be for the paper.
You've asked Scott to sell his body?
No, to do a cartoon of somebody else who may have sold their body for money, mm-hmm. Visually, as a matter of fact. It seems a little bit picky choosy for people to be like, oh, you sold your body for money.
Well, and as somebody created a meme showing. You know, basically using Giuliani's words against him, except the images they chose were the ones for Melania posing nude. Mm-hmm. And say, how dare you attack our first lady?
So it becomes slut shaming at some point.
Completely.
Right? It becomes like, oh, well, here's your woman who's selling for. Yeah, it becomes very weird.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, I can get.
Right.
Yeah, it's just they'll always find a way to. Slut shame women and
right
yeah
yeah no, Giuliani kind of was really on fire on that one. I mean, I heard he was first of all, he's in Israel and he's doing a lot of very crazy things. He said a lot of weird things, including on Kim Jong-un. He said Kim Jong-un got down on his hands and knees and begged to have the summit back on. Now, you know, I'm guessing that didn't go over too well with Kim Jong-un.
Is he trying to blow like, up? Is he trying to blow up the summit?
No, because that's Bolton's job. No, Rudy, and he did it once, as we know. No, Rudy, it's like it's the president's personal lawyer. This is not your business. Shut up.
Yeah, it's disturbing.
Yeah,
to say, but I mean, I kind of wonder if we're now doing the summit just to make sure that the coins sell.
Well, right, yes. Right, because otherwise they would have had to change the date on the coins or something.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah. Eric, I read today that there are some Republicans who are moving to legalize about 3.2 million illegal immigrants. Did you see the story today?
Wait, I'm sorry. Say that again?
To give citizenship or to make sure they have legal status instead of being illegal immigrants. There's a rogue group of Republicans. Is there even a chance of that happening?
I don't know. I mean, at the rate that the president has federal agencies going in and trying to round people up, it seems it's going to be a little. I think it would be a good thing. I think there should be a process for legal immigration and kind of cleaning this up, because they've gotten so far behind on processing all of the applicants. I mean, there are people who have been waiting years and years to get their status to become citizens.
And maybe we can start by stop criminalizing legal asylum seekers and separating their children from them and then losing their children.
That is the biggest thing. It's so immoral.
It's shocking.
What we are doing in this country in terms of splitting children up from their parents. I mean, it's unconscionable.
No, it is. I mean, look, I, as some folks know, I was one of the founders of the Illinois Holocaust Museum, and spent a lot of time talking to a lot of survivors. And one of the first things they talk about is being separated from their parents and the pain and ordeal of that trauma, often never to see their parents again because their parents were sent to the gas chamber. And when I see these stories of the parent of the children being yanked from their parents. I just don't know what country I'm living in, and it reminds me mm-hmm. of your song. That's why when you started to play that song, I got very emotional. Mm-hmm. It really touched a chord. Like this is not our country. This is just so wrong on so many levels, and this is a shame that every Trump enabler and every Trump supporter is going to have to carry with them for the rest of their lives.
Well, absolutely. Children absolutely. Should never be ripped from their parents,
never,
yeah. held in secretive, you know, some sort of confinement or something like that, and split up. I mean, it's completely wrong and immoral.
Yeah, you guys joked about Gary Johnson, who is working about Our America, and one of the issues he's talking about is immigration, and talking about how immigration is actually good for America. It grows our economy. It grows the number of people here. It grows the amount of capital that's in our economy. As a Republican, I can say this is all good stuff. So how in the name of everything that is holy, as a Catholic, I can tell you this is unconscionable that we are going after immigrants, and the way we are going after them by stripping their children away mm-hmm. from parents, by stopping them from coming across to a better life and a better America. I'm the second, I don't know about you guys, I'm second generation American. So every one of my grandparents came to this country, didn't speak the language, you know, knew very little about the country, but they became Americans and they grew the American dream. And I find this incomprehensible how we're against this.
By the way, according to one of our texters, you are a liberal loser.
Okay.
Also, Eric, you're a liberal loser. Also, Dave Lundy, you're a liberal loser.
Well, I will own that. I'm not sure how the Republicans in the room, Eric and Scott, feel about it, but I will own the liberal loser. Being a liberal loser means that you actually care about not ripping children away from their parents who are following a legal process. Mm-hmm. This is the thing that people don't understand. These people are not going illegally. They are presenting themselves at the border. They are saying that they have a reasonable threat of being murdered in their country. It is a legal process that they go through to process for asylum, to see if you qualify as an asylum seeker. And we're treating these people as criminals. And there's a story I just read about a half hour ago about somebody who was denied their DACA status, had their DACA status revoked, was sent back to Mexico and was murdered. This is real. Yeah. It's happening. So you know what? You call me a liberal loser all you want. I'm not going to hell for trying to separate these kids and they wind up dead.
And by the way, you can call me a liberal loser, but I've been a conservative and a Republican my entire life. And here's the thing. Immigration is good for America. It's good for the economy. It's good for the bottom line.
And that's why the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is all in on immigration, and they're trying to get the Republicans to step up and move forward on DACA. Nice. And that's as Republican as it gets. I mean, Eric and I can argue from time to time about politics and policy, but Stantis over here is a freaking fascist.
Wait,
Ray, this is why
I will not embrace that. Don't we have a commercial?
I exaggerate.
The whole notion slightly. Of this whole, you know, nationalism, populist nationalism that we're seeing around the globe is really kind of scary. And, what's taking off. And so I think we need to be really careful of this. It is mind-boggling to me. This dogma that so many of these folks, our neighbors and people in this country, are subscribing to. They're forgetting history.
No, but nationalism, I get that. And I'll tell you why. Only because, for instance, France, 7 million plus Muslim immigrants from around the Muslim world have immigrated there. But How about, let me explain, let me just ask this of France, and I'm three quarters French. Why don't you give them an avenue to become, I don't know, French? That right. would be a beginning.
Right, because they don't assimilate in France.
Exactly.
And that's because they're shunned. France does not have a policy of inclusion and does not have a history of assimilation in a positive sense the way we do. You're absolutely right. Look, what offends me is when people like Donald Trump try to say, I am not a patriot. Ask my kids. I stand up for the national anthem every time. I sing it proudly. We fly a flag in front of our house. I am a moderately liberal Democrat, and I am just as much of a patriot as any one of those people. And it offends me when you say, no, you're not a patriot because you support the right of the players to kneel if that's what they choose to do. It's called the First Amendment. It's called our entire democracy. Are we late?
No, I'm waving it right. No okay. Blinking lights. There were no red light camera violations on Michigan Avenue. Good. I'm so retroactively mad right now. I can't even begin to tell you. Ray, what do you think? I mean, this is how we have conversations on Friday nights.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about the next song I'm going to play. And what you were saying about your grandparents and how you're second generation American, I think it's a good point whenever we talk about immigrants always to acknowledge that we are a country built on immigration.
Exactly.
And if we don't like talking about a conversation about immigrants, you always have to include the indigenous people, and indigenous people are still here. I'm part Native American, and it's like you said, being second generation American, it's ironic when people are second generation, third generation, fourth generation American and are so anti-immigrant because we're all immigrants,
I turned your microphones off so she could sing.
I was just going to say, imagine the surprise of Native Americans when, they say, we discovered America, and they're going, wait, what?
And like I told you, my favorite joke, I told you this off the air, Jim Rule, who's a good friend of mine, one of my favorite comedians, and he's a Native American. He said, everyone's celebrating Thanksgiving, and we like to call it your welcome day. Mm-hmm. it's one of those, it's so brilliant in its simplicity and its honesty. And that's
back to your point earlier, where are you from? I'm from here. Where are you from?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, that's right. Whenever people ask, where do you come from? Like, what, and I'm, because on my mom's side, my mom is an immigrant. So I'm like, first generation born in the U.S. on my mom's side. On my dad's side, it's like, who knows? My dad's indigenous, like our family's indigenous. So it even makes the question even more offensive.
We have the phone lines lit up. We also have texters who have joined us. But before we go to the break, the one question a listener has is for Dave Lundy. What camp?
Camp Menominee.
More after this on 720.
Of course it is.
Menominee. Da, 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 da. Oh, sorry. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We have moved our Friday night panel to Thursday. I don't know how many... Dave, you're out of town next week, so before we move time slots. Although, for anyone who is concerned or wondering what happens to the show, we actually, for our whole first week, when Andrea Darlis and I take over the 7 to 11 p.m. slot, we actually will be on every night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. the entire first week.
I thought it was 7 to 11.
It was 7 to 11, but on nights when the White Sox play or the Blackhawks play.
You've already shifted the time?
Yes, we've already. We're time travelers. We're a little bit like the 11th Doctor. I like to think of us as Matt Smith, and bow ties are cool. That's
really?
The way I'm gonna
You're
look
Matt
at this
Smith.
One. I am Matt. Do you think I'm more of David Tennant? I'm more of a trench coat?
No, sorry.
Capaldi?
No, Stetsons are cool. No, you're Tom Baker.
Oh.
Yeah, I old school, yeah.
Oh, no. I like that.
Yeah.
He's very quirky, he's
you
very eccentric.
You just need a scarf.
Yeah. I think
David Tennant is...
I have that scarf.
I do, too.
Yeah, okay.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
What?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Ray,
my mom knitted it for me.
I got it right now.
Knit it for me.
Knit it for you? Oh,
she did.
I bought mine at TARDIS Fest. Because I'm a dork. I do Comic-Cons. I don't know, Ray, if you're one of these folks that...
I have yet to go. But
oh, well.
Are you a Doctor Who fan?
She's like, Doctor what?
Who? You're both dead to me.
We have a lot of texts coming in, a lot of phone calls coming in, and I have to put everyone on hold. because we have some music from Ray Zaragoza, who's going to be at City Winery tonight. You can go to her website for more information. But fortunately for you, she's performing live in studio. What song would you like to do next?
So this song is called In the River.
In the River. Here's yes. Ray.
There's gotta be some hope. There's gotta be some hope. There's gotta be some way for you to send your dogs away and to leave the land. It's gotta be a crime. Somewhere in your heart you'll find we're fighting for our rights to keep the future bright and protect the ones we love. Our sisters and our brothers, we are camping out for each other. We are stronger when we band together, and we're standing up for the water. Don't poison the future away. Gotta have a soul. Mother Earth protects us all. If you treat her with disrespect, then what message have you left for your children and their home? Sisters and our brothers, we are camping out for each other. We are stronger when we band together, and we're standing up for the water. Don't poison the future away. How can you take and take and not appreciate the soil? Don't let this black snake contaminate our drinking water. This is for our sons and daughters. And the river is our sisters and our brothers. Camping out for each other. We are stronger when we band together, and we're standing up for the water. Don't poison the future away.
That's Ray Zaragoza. She'll be at City Winery tonight. Go to her website. I'll get you the spelling when we come back. We've got to run to the news. I know some of our listeners were trying to hold on as long as they could. We also have some texters joining us. We'll get to you if we can, but after the news, I can't promise everything. There's so much going on tonight. It is Thursday. I am off tonight. I'll be traveling. I'm going to be in Mason City, Illinois, actually, performing at Mason City Limits. And I hope
it's actually Friday.
It is Friday, right? I know it's Friday. I know. But you know me. Unless I go to bed and wake up again. Esmeralda and I are on the same page with this. All right. Oh, no, wait. No, we're
it's
not.
It's still today.
Nope. No, she's, yeah, it is Friday. Yeah.
Hey, Esmeralda, what day is today?
It's not tomorrow yet.
It is, when it is Thursday afternoon, I'm already like, it's Friday.
All right. Me. Fair enough. So tonight, tonight I'll be in Mason City, Illinois at Mason City Limits. That's both Friday and Saturday. I'm also stopping by the Dannenberger Family Vineyards on Saturday. So I'm very excited about that.
Say hi to Susan.
I will. And what was your question? So I'm not on later on. So I figured we would combine my Thursday night sidecar, Scott Stantis.
Hello.
The cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. We also have Eric Elk, who is usually on our Friday nights. Again, our deepest apologies to Ken Jakubowski. Eric Elk is the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois. We also have Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications and regular on the Justin Kaufman Show. Maybe one more time? Are you doing Monday nights?
Yes, Monday
nights.
Are
night. You going to be oh, on no, 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 5 in the morning?
There's a White Sox game.
So previously a regular on the Justin Kaufman Show. I will be taking over the 7 to 11 p.m. slot with Andrea Darlis.
Yay.
And for those wondering who takes over the 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., also me and Andrea Darlis many nights when there's a Blackhawks game or a White Sox game.
Go Hawks.
And White Sox, go baseball.
By the way, Eric has the manliest beard going here.
No, he has the shaggiest beard.
That's manly.
No, it's not manly. Yes. It's just shaggy.
What is manly to you?
Well, what? Every day I look in the mirror and look at my beard.
Harold,
that's what's manly. Harold,
you've been on hold for 27 minutes. Save me from this discomfort. What's going on, Harold?
23 seconds, awesome.
Okay, yes. Thank you for being so patient. A lot of listeners didn't hold on. Glenn did, so I'm so grateful. Thank you. Go ahead. What'd
I didn't
you
know there was an option.
There's a contest right now. Yes.
Okay. So, Scott Stantis. He's
yes, sir.
He's a cartoonist, and I just was wondering. Maybe you've talked about it. I don't know, or another day that I might have missed. But what do you have to say about there's a political cartoonist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Rob Rogers.
I talked to Rob this afternoon, this evening, rather.
So you did? So it was like, now here's what I guess it is. He said he's worked for that newspaper for 35 years.
Yes.
Said about 19 times in 35 years he's had a cartoon rejected. Doesn't seem too excessive, maybe once every other year or something like that. And he's had 6 in a week.
Yes, and more lately. Yeah, they
And by the way, one of them was just what you guys were talking about. It's a picture of a road sign, a drawing of a road sign with two people crossing in a hurry, and kind of a silhouette, also like likeness of Trump, maybe.
Yes,
matching a child.
Yes, it was the if you grew up or know about the San Diego or California border, about 100 miles up north, they have these signs that people running across the highway, and just to be aware. And so his cartoon was Donald Trump grabbing the child away from the parents. What's happening in Pittsburgh is that the publisher, this is a Blade newspaper. It's the Toledo Blade, which also owns the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Rob Rogers has been the cartoonist there for well over 35 years. Rob is a dear friend. He's far left of me, but regardless of that, he really is one of my very best friends in the whole wide world. And I talked to him this evening, and they haven't been running his cartoons, period. He draws the cartoons, he sends them in, and they reject them. That's,
and they say he's taking a day off or something. But
no, they pretty much, they don't say anything. And which we, Harold, I got to tell you, in the newspaper game, they do this in the radio game as well, is that when a story breaks, let's say something happens.